My name is Greg Lindberg. I'm the city manager here in Burnsville, and it's been a difficult and emotional day here for our community and our team. I thank you all for being with us today as we share some important information on a critical incident that occurred in our community this morning. Today, we'll have several updates for you. First, Drew Evans from the BCA will provide an update on the critical incident that occurred. And then both our police chief and our fire chief will make comments about this difficult day in our team, in our family here in Burnsville. Words can't express how hard today has been. We know that people want and need information, and that's our role in providing good government and good service to the community. And we want to also make sure that we take good care of our team, the people who serve this community day in and day out, and their families. So thank you for giving us the grace and the patience and the understanding to inform their loved ones, to take care of our team, and to even process this ourselves. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Evans with the BCA.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Drew Evans. I'm the superintendent at the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and we've been asked to investigate this matter, and I'll provide a quick update. First, thank you on behalf of the team here for all the law enforcement support, the governor's support, the commissioner of public safety support, for everybody that's having just an incredibly difficult day. This is really a terrible day for the city of Burnsville, all of the residents, the law enforcement, and fire communities that are mourning the loss of these public servants that occurred earlier today. At approximately 1:50 a.m. on February 18th, Burnsville police were called to a residence in the 12,600 block of 33rd Avenue South on a report of a domestic situation where a man was reported to be armed and barricaded with family members in the home. We later learned that there were seven young children in the home, ranging from ages 2 to 15 at the time of this event occurred. When officers got to the scene, the individual was barricaded, and they spent quite a bit of time negotiating with this individual who was barricaded in the home, and additional officers responded at that time. At one point during that barricaded situation, the subject opened fire on the officers in the home, and officers Elmstrad, Ruge, and Finseth for the fire department, Mr. Finseth, were killed by the gunman during the response. One other officer, Sergeant Adam Medlicott, was injured and was shot as well, where he's suffered non-life-threatening injuries, but has been treated, is in the process of being treated. At approximately 8 a.m., the subject was reported to be deceased in the home, and later that morning, those other children and family members were able to escape from the home. Residents are asked to allow our teams to stay away from the area and allow our teams to complete the crime scene investigation that needs to occur in that location still at this time. I'm going to go through quickly just a little bit of background on the officers before I turn it over to Police Chief Schwartz and about who they are. Paul Elmstrand is 27 and joined the Burnsville Police Department in August of 2017. First as a community service officer, and he was later promoted to officer in July of 2019. He was part of the department's mobile command staff, peer team, honor guard, and field training unit. Officer Matthew Ruge, age 27, joined the Burnsville Police Department in April of 2020. He was part of the department's crisis negotiations team, was a physical evidence officer. And then firefighter Adam Finseth, age 40, has been a Burnsville firefighter paramedic since 2019. As they noted, we're in the very beginning stages of this investigation. I know everybody wants to know exactly what occurred and really what led up to these really terrible event that occurred today. I'd ask that you have patience as we work through that. We'll piece together everything that we can to provide the answers in due time. Now, at this time, we're providing these basic updates so that we can tell you just a little bit of what occurred. We'll answer a few questions at the conclusion of this, but our crime scene will be active and ongoing in that process. I will note just a few things in this in terms of the questions. We still don't know the exact exchange of gunfire that occurred. Several officers did return fire. I will note that this individual had several guns and large amounts of ammunition and shot at the police officers from multiple positions within the home in that incident. And the exact timing and cadence of what occurred will be part of our active investigation as we review video, officers, body cams, video that might be in the area, conduct interviews, and all available evidence to really figure out exactly what occurred in this incident. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Police Chief Tanya Schwartz.
Thank you for being here. This is a hard day. It's a really hard day for our public safety family. We're hurting. Okay, we're hurting. Today, three members of our team made the ultimate sacrifice for this community. They are heroes. Our police officers and our fire paramedics, they come to work every day. They do it willingly. They know that they might have to give up their life for their partners, for someone else. They know they have to give up their life sometime. And they do it anyways. And you cannot understand it if you're not in the profession. Every day we want them to go home to their families. Every day we pray that they go home to their families. And today that's not happening. We are all hurting. Our officers, our fire department, our families, all of our staff, our community. We're heartbroken. We are heartbroken. We are going to need time to be together, please. Our families need time to grieve. They need time to be together. We need you to pray for them. That's what we need right now. Superintendent Evans shared a little bit about each of the officers. I will just share that Officer Paul Elmstrand was with the department for 6 years and 6 months. Officer Matthew Ruge with the police department for 3 years and 10 months. Sergeant Adam Medlicott, who's expected to survive, with the department for 9 years and 5 months. We talk about it often here in Burnsville. We're a family. We take care of each other. And days like today is so important. So I'm going to turn it over to my brother, the fire department, Chief Jungman, and he is going to speak about the fire department family.
Good afternoon. I am BJ Jungman. I'm the fire chief for the city of Burnsville. This is the toughest day that the city of Burnsville and our public safety family has ever experienced. My hearts and prayers go out to the families who lost a loved one in the line of duty today. Our folks come to work every day and are willing to give up the ultimate sacrifice of their life, but no one expects it to happen. It's a tragic day. We're all grieving, and we're all trying to understand what happened and why. I would like to share a little bit of information about the firefighter paramedic we lost in the line of duty today. Firefighter paramedic Adam Finseth, badge 83, was one of our SWAT paramedics and has been in the fire department for 5 years. He also served the city of Savage and the city of Hastings prior to coming to work at the city of Burnsville. No matter how much we try to understand that, there are no words to describe these public safety officer families what they're going through right now. Our Burnsville community, including our city staff and police and fire families, are grieving. We ask the media to respect the families and their privacy as they are processing this information. We thank our mutual aid partners who responded to the incidents and are helping us during this difficult time. We've had an outpouring of support through our community, which we greatly appreciate. And at this time, we'd ask our community to support each other and help each other grieve. We'd ask them to respect the families that lost someone today. We ask everybody to show grace and understanding for our community members and our city staff who are impacted by this. We're going to provide more information moving forward and how you can support these families financially in the coming days. I would ask you to go to burnsvillemn.gov/community updates, and we will keep you informed there. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to our city manager to close, Greg Lindberg.
Chiefs, thank you. Chief Schwartz said it best just now. We're hurting as a team and as a family, particularly for those individuals who have chosen our police and our fire departments as a career to serve this community and to live out day to day what is one of the most important things here in Burnsville, and that's keeping our community safe. We're going to support each other. We're going to care for one another as a team, because we talk a lot about in this organization and as a family that if we take care of each other, that's when we can best care for our community. And we're going to do that, and it's going to be hard. We'll support our staff the best that we can in the coming days. We also will make sure that you have all of the information that you need to help us do the same. I'd ask that you use the website burnsvillemn.gov/community updates, where we'll be posting all of the information that we share with the community and beyond as we work together to continue to support each other, to care for the community. And speaking of caring for the community, I'd invite all of you, our community and beyond, to attend an informal vigil tonight outside of City Hall, where we'll join together and start the process of grieving and caring for each other in our support to strengthen our community and to make sure that our team, our staff, the people who call Burnsville home and beyond know that together we will create a safe community and one where we can all work together in caring for each other. And finally, the Chiefs and I are going to return to the business of taking care of our family and taking care of our community. We really thank you for the time that you spent here today and appreciate your willingness to join us. So thank you very much.
We can do just a couple questions. It's early in the investigation as a few, but we'll try to answer if we keep them to the investigation as we let them go back and continue.
Yes, just for clarity, first of all the three that were killed inside the home?
No, it's a good question. We're still piecing that together right now. I can tell you at least one of the officers was shot inside of the home. The other two that were deceased, we're still piecing together if it was inside or outside of the home. But I can tell you that officer that took fire inside of the home and once they were outside of the home.
Was the paramedic attending to an officer when he was struck?
So the paramedic was part of the team. The SWAT team was called to this incident, and they were in the process of helping resolve that. And as part of that, they have paramedics that are assigned to that team, and they were assisting with the officer, the first one that was injured.
Thanks for your update. Adrian Braun from NBC News, 8-year Minnesota resident.
Have you all been called to that home before?
So we're still working through all of that. The home, there was this particular residence with this individual, there had not been many calls for service at all.
Situation that brought officers there, can you elaborate on that at all?
At this time, it's part of the active investigation. We can't provide any more information than what we've had. So the suspect is deceased, as we noted in this particular instance, and he is, as a part of that, the medical examiner will do the official identification. We believe we know who the individual is, but the official identification needs to come from the medical office, medical examiner's office. We're working through that right now. The medical examiner will provide that. That autopsy will occur tomorrow.
There was an armored vehicle on scene at that automobile. Are you able to say that that protects other officers inside?
That vehicle that you saw was used as part of the SWAT team that was on scene as the or shortly after the gunfire erupted and was used as part of that process, which is why it was shot.
There have been any requests for extreme risk protection orders against the suspect?
We're still part of the active investigation at this time.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, you know, seven children inside of the home from, you know, ages 15 to 2, it's a very troubling situation for everybody involved in this particular incident, and we're glad they aren't hurt as part of this.
Who was able to call for help?
So a resident that was inside of the residence made the initial call.
What can you tell us about the gun?
So we'll be able to provide more information about that later on. I will say there were multiple firearms recovered from inside of the residence.
Superintendent, you said you were going to take a few more questions. Are you about done?
I maybe take one more.
I'm understanding that he shot out the second story window. Is that true?
Yes, so there was shooting that came from the upper portion of the residence and on the main floor of the residence as well. So thank you for your time. We'll provide more information as we can from there. Thanks.